Grade 6 Conference, Lecture 61, Islam and Europe. As Christianity consolidated its power, especially in the Mediterranean basin, one finds incidences of the exile of one or another philosopher from one of the old Greek and Roman schools, the closing down of various academies of philosophy, the ending of the study of ancient scripts, especially books that in any way pondered or contemplated the nature of the universe. So fields such as mathematics and astronomy, the practice of ancient medicine and Greek art of healing, all of these things were discouraged or outright banned. And this was because Christianity wanted no competition in its presentation of the divine world, that the church in particular wanted to be the sole mediator of what human beings saw and felt about the heavens. And as I said earlier, there was this closing off of the heavenly world from the earth so that people could find a new relationship to earthly life and also little by little find their way back to the divine, but out of their own resources and not based on what had been held over from the old clairvoyance of ancient cultures. So the end result of this was that there was a great movement from west to east on the part of anyone versed in any knowledge of Greek philosophy, Greek culture in particular. So the heritage of Athens, the heritage of Alexander the Great, all of this was buried in the West and drew up again, found its way into the East. And this is especially under the tutelage of caliphs, of Islamic leaders in Eastern lands, particularly the land that is known today as Iran, the old Persia. So here in Baghdad in particular, under the aegis of Harun al-Rashid, we find one of the most cultured, sophisticated, and deeply philosophical centers of thought anywhere in the world. We find the Greek manuscripts now can only be found in Islamic libraries, that the study of the art of healing, medicine, is also only to be found in the Islamic lands. So though we have the monasteries holding on to whatever they can of the last vestiges of ancient culture, much of it is taken away from Europe and put in a kind of dormant state, relatively speaking, as far as Europe is concerned. This is very important. Now, this sounds like a terrible tragedy that the people of Europe are severed from basically everything that we taught the fifth graders all last year about ancient history. That becomes virtually unknown. Aristotle is the philosopher. Virgil is the poet. And though these are, of course, incredibly great individuals, but they don't in any way represent the fullness and the variety of ancient thought and ancient culture. Yet Steiner says this was actually a very good thing, that it was important at this time for Europeans to develop their heart forces, their life of feeling, and that this process would have been interrupted, even hindered, and eclipsed completely had they exposure to all of the contents of the Library of Alexandria, had they access to the great books of the ancients. So only a very narrow stream, predominantly Aristotelian, found its way from the monasteries, then to the official church libraries, and of course could become the foundation for the great monuments of thought created by an individual like Thomas Aquinas or Albertus Magnus, his teacher. But most of it was to stay in the East and be particularly guarded by the great Islamic caliphs. Harun al-Rashid, by the way, had not the same degree of animosity and antipathy towards Christianity that was shared by many of his fellow leaders, but he even gave Charlemagne a number of gifts when he learned of his coronation as the Holy Roman Emperor. Among them were a chessboard, and this was a game that Charlemagne delighted in playing, and also an elephant, which Charlemagne brought into battle with him, and whose death he mourned deeply. In fact, Charlemagne's death followed hard on the heels of the death of this elephant. And it can be very interesting for you to present to the children what life was like in the caliphate of Harun al-Rashid and what life was like in the court of Charlemagne, to show the tremendous contrast between the high degree of civilization already found in Islamic lands compared to the relative primitiveness and aspirations in this age of faith, the time of Charlemagne. So this could be sort of one of the last pictures to bring to the students that Europe has fallen far, far from the level of material culture that the Romans had attained to for hundreds of years. But something else was there. Something was trying to be born, something was trying to arise, which within another few hundred years would take off, take its wings and begin to fly and have an impact all over the world. So we'll just end with a depiction of Europe at the time of the First Crusade. And you could end with the life of Charlemagne and the contrast of the courts, or you can go one step further towards this crusade and tell the students that in seventh grade they will hear about the ramifications of this first great war and all that was to follow.